Hey, y'all, and welcome to the episode 38 of the 5-Minute Major Podcast of STL, presented by Across the Board. We have a new show here for you today. We're going to talk NHL coaches. We're going to talk IIHF World Championship games. And then, as always, the best playoffs in all of sports, the NHL playoffs in the Battle for the Cup. How are we doing, Mikey?
Doing okay. A little bit better. The Jets are out. It's a heck of a game.
Heck of a game. Like
heck of a series. Can't yeah. hate on it at all.
Except Hellebuck. You can hate on him because the man can't win on hockey. On road games in hockey.
Yeah, it's that was bad showing for the Jets in general on the road. But anyways, so you get a little bit of relief that we weren't gonna beat Dallas.
I think we would have played better with them.
Yeah, I think it would have been five or six, but I think you beat Colorado. I think Blues could have beat Colorado the way they were playing.
You could have beat Colorado. You could have beat Vegas. I truthfully think they could have beat Edmonton.
Oh my God, Edmonton's on a different world now, dude. Man. They can't play. I can't wait to talk about them.
They can't play a physical game.
I feel like they've been stepping it up just
but
overall.
Ekholm is coming back, so
I don't know. I don't know. I've watched some of those games, man. They played so good against Vegas. Vegas looked horrible. Let's talk about the coaching carousel, as people have been calling it. Disclaimer, we took some time off, but it's been Josh is moving his future wife out of the country, and that takes time, and he wanted to spend time, and then, you know, Blues were out, so we needed a week off.
Yeah, good Lord.
But we're happy to be back, and this is off to a hot start. I feel like we haven't done this in so long, so we're just kind of like rambling. Oh man, skip to the timestamp 2:30. We'll put that at the start of this podcast so that you can. Anyways, all right, I'm gonna stop talking. All right, the coaching carousel. Rangers got their head coach a while back, Mike Sullivan from Pittsburgh. That I feel like that was inevitable. They Great were looking pickup. At him for a while.
I think he was the best coach available, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think I agree for sure. I think number two was Joel Quenneville, and we'll talk about him.
Yeah, soon. I'm interested about that one.
On to the Canucks. Tockett was out, obviously. He was talking on the TNT panel, and then a week later, he's the Flyers head coach. So good for Tock. He's back in Philly. People love him there. I think he's okay. You know?
I think he has a lot of upside. I do wonder how he handles a locker room, because we saw a locker room fiasco in Vancouver.
I feel like he just kind of got into that. I don't know if it was part of it.
There was a lot of rumors that revolved around the owner vetoing trades. So the rumor was that they were trying to trade Petey.
Okay.
To, I believe, Carolina.
Oh, that would have been really annoying.
So it would have been Petey to Carolina, or there's rumors that he was Rantan the one that was
back, ranting and coming back.
Yeah, that's, or you're going to get a Jarvis, or like, I don't know what the return was. That wasn't said, but sounds like Petey was going to go. They were going to keep our homeboy, the USA boy that went to the Rangers, JT Miller.
Okay.
They were going to build around JT Miller because that's the player Tockett liked more.
I agree.
I think I would rather have the man in the locker room like him than Petey, but
yeah, he's like a mental midget, bro.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens with Vancouver. It's going to be so interesting because they're talking about Quinn wants to play with his brothers. Like, the owner's just straight up saying that. I'm like, whoa, let's not do that in the public, right?
But hey, the New Jersey is talking about a shakeup, and you want to talk about Vancouver. If you want to flip your team around real quick, a return for Hughes.
And Hughes would be so much.
I mean, you can get Dawson Mercer, Aho, or Heischer. Like,
yeah, I bet you they could get, like, they could probably get, like, Timo Meier, Nemec.
I was going to say, there's a lot of
someone else.
It could be revolved around a three-way three-way trade, because I think Carolina could get in this, because Carolina's looking for some stuff. You can include Vancouver in this. Like, there could be multiple moving parts. I think Carolina's going to upgrade, and I think they could get involved in a deal like this because they have some other stuff they would like.
That would be interesting.
Vancouver's got to tear it down, if I'm being honest. And I think Hughes is going to go.
Yeah, the news going into Vancouver is that talk it out. Adam Foote, the assistant coach, is now the head coach. So a familiar face for them. Face in general. Yeah, he was a brute back in the day, though. What a hockey player.
I just don't know if he's the guy for that spot. But
no, it's a filler.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like the Bannister thing. It's a Bannister move. The so-and-so, you know. I'm sure he's a great guy. He's a heck of a hockey player, man. I mean, him and Tuchet are probably like the same mental. I don't know if it's going to change anything up there. I think the Vancouver fans are going to quickly realize how bad their team truly was. Like, the year before, I was like, I think I picked them to go pretty far. I'm like, dang, they're a pretty good team. And then this year, just something happened. I don't know.
They lost.
Someone said
room,
something.
The locker room went, and you let Big Z walk, and you crumbled.
I forgot about Z.
Yeah.
Still bad.
The biggest coach change here that we haven't talked about is Joel Quenneville to the Ducks. I think this it's an interesting move. I truly do wonder if his personality and mentality is one that'll work well with these young players. I don't think Zegras is a Quenneville type of player, which means Zegras I don't know.
From what we know, he's not. But who knows? Q might have turned a new leaf, which he says he has.
Yeah, okay.
You know what? I'm on the other side of this stuff. I feel about this stuff? Like, he apologized. He took his time off, you know what I mean. He just got reinstated. Beach, the player, forgave him publicly.
Who is also an official now, so.
Right. So it's like, let's move on. If anything happens again, okay, then you can hate on him again. I think it's great for Anaheim.
I think he's a fantastic coach, and I think he's the best behind. I think it's tied between Mike Sullivan and him for the best coaches right now that were available.
100% true. And he's going to do wonders for that team because they were close. Like, for not even being that great of a team, if the general manager makes some moves, I mean, they have a couple big boys on the back end. They got Dostal, right?
Yeah.
If you can maybe get a pair for him.
Well,
move your soft guys and bring in some heavier players for playoff hockey, and you might make a run. You never
know. Do you see if you can hit the reset button and let Husso be, I don't know, as your backup? Your backup?
He could back up.
And move Gibson because Gibson wants out.
Yeah, Gibson feels like a Canuck or Bruin or
a Carolina Hurricane.
Carolina's weird with goalies. Freddie Anderson's been great though, but yeah, we'll see what happens in Anaheim. I think Quenneville's going to turn it around for him as long as the GM helps him out for sure. I think Zegras should go.
I think the big issue though is the Bruins still need a coach. The Blackhawks are plagued and no one wants to be their coach. And the Pittsburgh Penguins available.
And the Kraken.
Yeah. So available coaches, you got Torts, Bruce Boudreau, Laviolette, Claude Julien, Hextall, Woodcroft, Gallant.
Yeah, those are some big names still.
Big names, but okay. No one wants Torts. I'm sorry.
No, not anymore. Done. I mean, he sounds like a Blackhawk to me.
I know. You know who sounds like a Blackhawk? Bruce Boudreau.
You think so?
Yeah, because no one else will want that job, and he'll be an idiot and take it.
I kind of like Brucey, though. I don't know.
Out
of all those teams, it's probably him.
My thing. You know a guy that is not on this list that I could see a team just like...
Sneaky bringing in?
Steve Ott.
Yeah, so that was mentioned. I remember. I think it might have been on NHL Network. They were like, Steve Ott. Because they were talking about the Blues, how our assistant coaches are like pretty much head coaches.
Yes.
And
because I think Steve Ott's more likely to go, and you're more likely to keep
Julien.
Claude Julien as an assistant.
I could see it. I feel like the Blues need a little bit of a light, like a coming to life moment on the special teams too. Just a little bit. Like, I think Ott's great for the faceoff. Huge for faceoffs. But now that Thomas and Shen's aged and knows how to win them. Like, you don't really need the coach to do too much. You just have Thomas practice with everybody, and they get better automatically.
I agree.
So, like, but Ott's pretty irreplaceable as a person. Like, in the locker.
That's the hard part.
He's a blue through and through, man, and his kids love it here. And so we'll see.
My guy that I thought was going to be for sure a coach went back to Denver. They're David
Carl.
Oh,
yeah. He doesn't want to hop in yet.
No, and he was offered the job in Chicago, and he said no, and then went and signed an extension in Denver.
Why not, though? You're having a lot more fun.
He was a guy that I thought if the Blues would move on from anyone and he wanted to get his feet wet as an assistant coach, that
with Monty,
Denver coach Monty, bring him in, teach him the reins, and let him go.
Yeah, that would have been
fun. And he could run a heck of a power play.
Yeah, that would be fun.
But
I guess Army and Steen and them weren't really looking into anything like that. We got Monty. And that's all they really care. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with the coaches. I think Gallant's a great coach still. I think Hextall's probably not going to get a job. Tort's probably not, but we'll see. I think Gallant, Laviolette, and Woodcroft are probably the top three up there. I don't think
Laviolette's system seems to work. It doesn't work anywhere.
I don't know. Where was he? He was in. He brought some teams to some runs. No, did he win a cup?
He was the New York Rangers coach.
Yeah, but before that, he took the Capitals in the playoffs a few times. He was around. So I mean, he's experienced though. Like,
he's coached the Rangers, the Capitals, the Predators, the Flyers, the Hurricanes, the Islanders.
Yeah, he's been
good lord.
He's been everywhere, so he's experienced, but I don't know if he's won anything. Maybe one.
He won one cup, 2006, with the Carolina Hurricanes.
I remember that now. Okay, well, we'll see what happens there. This is like the most open jobs we've had in a while.
Yeah, and I'm interested to see, is the coach for the Jets back?
Arneil?
Yeah.
I feel like he has to be.
I feel like he has to be.
He was hand-picked by Bones, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I think it's so tight-knit up there that the players would be really upset.
Yeah. Talk about
teams. But I don't think he's a good coach. Change.
No. I think there's going to be a lot of changes with that team this offseason.
We'll see.
They got like 20-something million, too.
I think it depends if they want to keep Ehlers. Nope. Or if they want to go big.
He's gone. Ehlers is going to hit free agency because they got him and Tanev, I think, walk. Gabe Vilardi gets a massive raise.
Okay. That was a player that I was maybe possibly thinking about for the Blues.
Oh, yeah. I like that idea. We talked about some players they could offshoot. But
yeah, and we'll get into that too. But NHL coaching's a mess. And we'll see what happens. I love the downfall of the Bruins and the Blackhawks, as always. Let's get into Worlds a little bit. I'm going to just run standings real quick.
We'll talk about our players.
So Group A, Sweden, Canada, Finland, Slovakia, Latvia, Austria, France, and Slovenia. Slovenia, stinky.
Oh,
France,
bad.
Stinky. Austria, stinky. Really, it's Finland, Canada, and Sweden running the show, and Sweden's like dominating.
Sweden is unreal.
They look really good right now.
You got a stack team, though.
In Canada?
In Sweden, too.
Oh, yeah. It feels like all the Swedes aren't playing playoff hockey right now. It's the Finns, which is hilarious. So, but shout out to Celebrini and Crosby being like this unreal duo. I love it. They look so awesome.
It's
together.
So fun to watch.
I saw they did the little no-look pass to Crosby. Celebrini did, and someone posted in the caption was, "The kid to the kid." And I was like, that's grade A.
Yeah.
Grade A reporting there. Group B, we got Czechia, Switzerland, United States, Germany, Denmark, Hungary, Kazakhstan, and Norway. Obviously, it's U.S., Germany, Switzerland, and Czechia. Winning hockey games. USA looks brutal.
USA's
honestly,
not good.
For how how solid their team should be. I don't even know where to start with that. I haven't really watched it. I know that it's a lot of Utah Mammoth hockey players.
Yeah, I was going to say it's like Utah's whole team. but we talked about it. It's showing maybe Swayman's not that great right now. But like, look at this USA. Swayman, Mason Laurie, Wierenski, Clayton Keller, Matty Beneer, Shane Pinto, Drew O'Connor, Andrew Peke.
I think it just sounds really, really young and inexperienced.
Yeah. Ziv Bulin.
On the international stage.
Yeah, I guess it is very young. Will Smith. Like, Michael McCarron.
But yeah. I mean, they've looked okay.
You don't have great centers, if I'm being honest here.
Yeah. I haven't been watching at all. I've just looked at like the Blues stats and I'll run through them here. Shen has an assist in 5 games. I'm sure they're up to 6 by now. Bennington's won all of his games because Canada hasn't lost. And they didn't really have any extra stats. I tried to find like all the stats. They don't have it. It's weird.
Did you see his crazy save? The misplayed puck and he somehow still gets in front of the net. And
I think he was going to do his classic go stop it behind the net and hit something crazy and went in front of the net.
Yeah, he hit a bounce.
Craziest paddle save of his career probably, and it looked so nonchalant. Texier's playing for France. He had 2 assists in 4 games, and then Dvorsky had an assist in 5 last time I checked. So I mean, the guys are just over there playing. Player. Dude, Tex was like a -7 in 4 games. I was like, wow, they must play him every shift.
Yeah, that's not great.
Yeah, Dvorsky isn't really carrying as we expected him to. I'm not going to lie, because he did look good in, what was that, juniors?
Which I think...
was the captain of the team and all that.
He's 19.
So. Yeah, he's a tiny little baby. We talked about that. He's just a baby. He'll come back and figure it out. But this is a good little segue, I guess. The Blues, they don't really see him playing for like a year or two.
Yeah.
I don't see it until 2 or more.
I think for him to play center, I think a year before he's on the roster as a winger.
Yeah.
I think
it depends on what happens in the offseason. If we're willing to make some moves and we need him, then sure. But I think at least one more year in the minors, come up next year, or in 26, 27.
He's the up and down guy next year, even though I don't think he should be. I think there's 3 other guys, I think, in front of him I'd rather see come up and down.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see with Devo. I think he just needs to grow up, bulk up, and figure it out, how to win some face-offs on the big stage, too.
Yeah.
You have some notes here.
Yeah. That's so the biggest takeaway is that Army's like, first off, he wants to be 5% better. We are 5% better from last year. We made the playoffs. 5% better going into next year for sure locks us in my opinion, I think we're the 3rd place team for sure in the Central next year.
That would be nice.
Yeah, I think that's a realistic thing for us.
It would be
Nashville's still not there. Chicago's nowhere near there. I think Utah has some big decisions to make this offseason.
Yeah.
Colorado, I also think, is going to have to make some decisions going forward here.
100%.
And what does Winnipeg look like next year as well?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, so that's the biggest thing. The other, like, hot notes that you could take away from this, he was pretty clear that the team we had is also not the team coming back next year. There needs to be some changes. And with that, his biggest thing was he wants a 200-foot offensive center.
Yeah.
He did not say anything about defense, which I had some questions about. He said he's very content with his top 4, which we have talked about this. As much as we hated on him and then liked him in certain points of the season, I don't think Falk should be in your top 4 next year.
No, he should be your bottom pair if he stays.
Yep. Also, so you have decisions on him, Suter,
Letty.
Is Kessel
going to play full time? Like, you don't know. It's a lot of question marks. If you can find a way to get someone with Roberg, then
that's the biggest
thing. It makes it so much easier to just be like, here's Letty for a bag of pucks. Like, take the money away from us, you know? Or even Falk, be like, here's Falk for a fourth round pick. Just take his contract. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. I like the idea of an offensive center. We'll go through your list of free agents here in a sec.
Yeah.
I'm honestly more concerned with getting a defenseman.
I agree. But I think it's a defenseman. Realistically, I think we only talked about two real guys in the free agency market, and an Ekblad and a Pavarov.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I'm okay with both of them. I'd rather have Provorov, even though he's a lefty. Mm-hmm. I still think Fabro is a right hand shot that's in the free agent market that you can get for so cheap, and people have been talking about it on Twitter. And I don't know. It depends on if Columbus re-signs him or whatever, but I think he would be fine.
Yeah.
He's just like a solid right hand, like no name defenseman that no one's gonna get by, basically. Like, so we'll see. I know that you mentioned that Provorov and Ekblad are probably the top two that you would go and get. Ekblad gets hurt so much, bro. We talked about it before we started recording. I hate that he misses 30 games a year. Like, hate it. And he just did the PED suspension.
Yeah, so I guess
thing,
20 games for that. So, I mean, yeah.
I get it. Like, maybe he didn't mean to, or maybe he was doing it because he was prescribed, but it's still like you're a professional hockey player. You know the rules. The person who gave them to you that you can't do that.
I think realistically, you're getting the defensemen through a trade, and that's
if you're getting like a future defenseman, like one you're keeping for multiple years.
And I think that goes to Kadri Miller, which I think you could buy low on.
Probably
Noah Dobson, which there's mixed reviews on him. In a role here where he's not having to be the true number one guy right now, he might flourish.
That's what I'm thinking.
He's playing number two with Broberg, but that is a very that's a very offensive minded pair.
Just put
that's my worry.
That's Brandt, why I like Fabro.
Yeah, that's why you like Fabro. The other two would be Brant Clark from LA.
Yeah, he's a
and
big boy.
Then Namich,
yeah,
New Jersey.
He's a solid youngster too. Scored a nice goal in the playoffs this year before they got eliminated. And
my dream guy is Sanderson from Ottawa, but there's no way we can get him.
Yeah, that's a haul and a half. Yeah. That might be like more than getting Brady.
The other thing would be Werenski from Columbus, who I think would also be phenomenal, but you're selling half your team to get that.
Yeah. Yeah. Columbus would be amazing.
Yeah.
They would get some good players back.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see with the Blues. Offensive center army said, we want defense, at least one, and a contract off the books. Devo's not ready. We both think we should extend Foxa.
And I got the sense that Foxa is coming back.
He loves it here.
He loves it here. He's army's bread and butter kind of player. Just come do your job and go home.
Yeah.
He wins faceoffs like no other. And he's healthy. In my opinion, I'm more willing to pay him and keep him over keeping a Sonny.
Yeah, I'd rather have Sonny be our extra.
I love Sonny, but he has to be your odd man out.
Yeah, especially if we're going to get that second line center like Army is, then we can kind of just do this and Sonny gets pushed to the extra.
Extra or a wing.
Or a wing, yeah.
Because I wouldn't mind a line of Sonny on the wing with a Shen and a Neighbors. Or
oh my God, that would be... Defense liability 101.
I don't.
Sonny makes up for those two, but Jesus.
I mean, Neighbors is gonna be stability wise for it's a grind line. It's like your epitome of like.
I'm just saying, in the playoffs, every time I saw them on the ice, we were hemmed in, and I was like,
"That's better than Joseph, though."
Neighbors just couldn't move the puck up multiple times. I'm like, what are we doing out here? This is
you're not a Neighbors fan lately.
I love Jake Neighbors. I think he's a solid hockey player, and he's old school. He just needs to work on simplifying the game and making smarter plays and crispy passes.
Yeah.
And that's it. Maybe get a little faster. He's kind of chunky monkey.
I think if he lost a little weight, he's the guy that we'd be okay if he trimmed up just a bit.
Yeah, stay the same weight, but put on more muscle and get those legs moving.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I will run the UFA list here real quick. We won't spend too much time on it. We'll do a whole other episode about Poeter and the off season.
We could ramble.
So kind of have the top 10 guys that I think the Blues could be interested in, with some guys that didn't make the list. Brock Besser, I didn't have him on my top 10 list. I don't know where he would fit
an honorable mention. Honorable mention player. He's going to get paid, I think.
That's the thing. I think for what he is and how much he would cost. And that
is he a Winnipeg Jet?
No.
No? If they let Ehlers walk, you need a winger.
That's true. That's true. also, Nikolaj Ehlers is an honorable mention in my opinion.
Yeah.
I like him. I think he would be nice to add, but I don't think he's going to be one of those guys.
Yeah.
So, no. Number one on that list, I think just for the sheer fact, if there's a player that gets 100 plus points, yes, be on your list of potentials that you would like to get. Mitch Marner finished this season 27 goals, 75 assists, 102 points. He's only 28 years old. Number two, I did put Matt Duchene because I think he would be sneaky signing for some awesome play as a second line center. He finished
with center. Is he center still?
He's still a center.
Really?
He's 34 years old, put up 30 goals, 52 assists.
Nice.
John Tavares put up 38 goals, 36 assists, 74 points. His name's kind of been circling more just because I think if Toronto loses tonight, he's gone. They got to lock up Matthew Nyes.
Yeah.
And I think that they're going to build around three players with Nylander, Matthews, and Nyes and let the other two go.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because you can spend that money to build a great middle six and a fantastic decor.
It's time to get a couple young beasts. You got to get rid of a couple of the guys on the back end, even though they've been really good this year, actually.
Number four, I have Granlund, 33 years old, solid in the dot, can play wing and play center. I think that's the flexibility with him. 22 goals, 44 assists. The guy I think that we loved and really wanted at the deadline is Ryan Donato. What he's going to get on the open market, and was it a real season or was he just lucky?
Yeah, true. And he's 30. I had no idea.
He'll be 30 this up-and-coming season. He put up 31 goals and 31 assists.
Pretty nice.
Another guy that I think would definitely be nice here on a short-term deal, bring in leadership and stability, is Brock Nelson. He's 33, put up 26 goals, 30 assists. I mean, that's better than what we got on our second line from a lot of those guys and our options at center. I mean, you had Sonny, who didn't put up much, and then Schenner, who could benefit from a drop. The guy that I think every Blues fan wants, and we go back and forth, and I just am in the camp where it'd be nice, but it's just going to cost way too much, and he does not produce, is a Sam Bennett. 25 goals, 26 assists. And he's going to want probably $7.5 to $8 million at 7 years.
To me, it makes no sense.
No, he's 28, and the back end of that contract's probably going
to
be bad.
I mean, if you compare his stats to Shen's, like, Shen's had a better track record of scoring points.
Yeah.
And if the St. Louis is going to just completely go numb with the fact that they've been complaining about Shen's contract for like 3 years now and then do that and complain about that, then you're just in a vicious cycle.
And it's the same thing.
He's not a point producer.
You just did this with multiple guys down the road here that you have complained about the back ends of their contract. Look at Falk. You've been mad about that. Like
Krug contract.
Yeah, Krug's contract. Like, it's going to be a painful ending, and he plays a physical game that I think would benefit your team in the playoffs, but I just don't know if that's worth it.
It's not worth it. It's better than what we have. That's kind of the justification where, like, does it even it out enough? To me, no. The pendulum still swings to overrated, overpaid.
Yeah.
So, out of the list, you have more, by the way.
Yeah, I got a couple more here. Claude Giroux, Mike's.
That's my guy.
Mike wants this guy every day. Let's get Claude Giroux. I'm just like, no, I don't want him, but you're like, let's get him. He is 37. Yeah, I'm wearing a Brady Tkachuk jersey.
No, I know he's old as heck.
So old.
He had a heck of a year for a 37-year-old, 15 goals and 30 assists, right? I mean,
35 assists. I mean, yeah, it'd be.
I'm just saying, it would be, that's like a fail safe, like he's cheap and he's available if he's available, sure. You know, he wins faceoffs. But yeah. It's not going to help.
Is he a second line center, though?
Well, no, I'm just saying people want something.
Yeah,
Is Doug going to get us something? You know, last-ditch effort. He's there.
So my thing is, Doug doesn't say something unless he has a plan to get something. That's why he didn't say anything about defense. Because the man, if he can't get defense, everyone's going to turn on him. But he's like, I'm getting a center one way or another.
I know, dude.
All right.
It's going to be an interesting... who knows what he's going to do?
Seriously. Also, you got to make some decisions before July 1st. Because that's when some no-move clauses and some modified no-move clauses begin.
If you're going to trade, if you're going to trade some guys, then yeah. I agree.
Rounding out the bottom two, I think the last guy is very intriguing, in my opinion. But number 9 is Jamie Benn.
I like this one, too.
I like this as a third-line winger, because I think he's an upgrade from Joseph and Texier. Also brings a massive amount of leadership.
He's buddies super with gritty. Shen.
He's buddies with Shen. You put him on that line potentially
with
your third Shen line potentially neighbors. If you add neighbors, Jamie Benn.
That'd be the worst line to play against.
Oh, it'd be terrible.
That's like Chuck Bennett line.
And they only have to play like 11 to 13 minutes a night and put him on the power play and special teams.
Exactly.
Like, don't get me wrong, Jamie Benn has played some of the most unnecessary, stupid penalties of these playoffs.
And he's a Blues killer.
He's a Blues killer, and he's a cheapo. He is cheapo.
He has some cheapos.
Sam Bennett is also a cheapo. Let me be honest here. Like,
so what's the difference?
It's one of those things where, like, I hate him if he's on the other team, but if he's on my team, he does no wrong.
Of course. He's won a Ross trophy. That's all I'm going to say.
That's true.
With 87 points.
Which is nuts.
He had more than next year and was third place for the Heart. So, anyways.
The last guy would be...
He's the perfect pair for Shen.
Oh, perfect pair for... And it would bring a lot to that locker room that would benefit, I think.
I agree.
The last guy is Pius Suter.
Oh, see, this is my other guy.
This is the other guy. That I was skeptical of it. I really was. But, I mean, I don't think he's going to break the bank.
No.
And he put up 25 goals, 21 assists, 46 points. Hear me out.
He's a 15 to 20 goal scorer. He's probably more of a
third line center. But
of course.
I think he could maybe flourish with a Holloway.
Everyone does, right?
Everyone does. And I it's interesting. Interesting take. The guys that didn't make the list but are honorable mentions are Brock Besser, Brad Marchand, who in my opinion is also another guy that if you can get him for a reasonable price, that is an Army deal. It's like you get guys towards their end who are older but are going to contribute still to your team.
Yeah.
I want nothing to do with Mangiapane. I want nothing to do with...
I think he's a great player, but I agree. He's not worth it.
Yanni Gourde, I also don't want anything to do with. I think
no, he's washed now.
Yeah. So Marcus Johansson is an interesting person for me.
Older, but still studly, dude.
Yeah.
He's like
and then a Jake Roslovic is also interesting. Also, Jonathan Drouin, if he hits free agency.
Drouin, injury prone.
Injury prone, but yeah.
But still a heck of a hockey player.
Yeah.
So on that list, I don't know. You said so many names. I don't know. We'll see. I just want 50% face-offs, win face-offs, and give it to Kyrie Holloway.
Yeah, so that's like, John Tavares.
Okay, hopefully he's not $10 million.
Okay, but if you go to him and you offer him a 2-year, 3-year deal, I think he takes it. For a competitive team?
Yeah, I mean, if no one else wants him, but I feel like everybody's going to want him. So we'll see. How do we steal him away from all these other markets, right?
So I think that's the other thing is it's all going to come down to Mitch Marner and what teams are fighting over Mitch Marner. Because guys won't like waiting if they're waiting for Mitch Marner to get signed and teams are trying to put their money for that.
Yeah.
Realistically, I think guys the Blues have an option really in is Granlund, Donato, Giroux, and Suter. Those sound like Blues players to me.
Yeah, they do.
Brock Nelson because I think he really could be your second line center for 2 years. And that puts him at 35. You could probably, you actually give him probably three to get him to 36. At 6.5.
He is 33. Sorry, you just said that. Yeah, I mean, what's his contract now?
Let me tell you. He's making $6 million right now.
I guess that's not that bad.
I mean, JT's making 11, which he's not getting 11 on the open market again.
He almost had 40 goals.
Claude Giroux's also making 6.5.
Over 2-year contract, right? I thought he was making 4.5 a year.
He's making 6.5 a year.
Wow.
That's why I was like,
good for him.
Jamie Benn's also making 9.5.
Well, he's been there forever.
Suter made 1.6, baby.
That's a Blues player.
There you go.
He needs to work on his face-offs, but...
Now, Riley Smith is a Blues player. The man will get free agency because Vegas won't want him back. We'll sign him. He's father time. He's.
I don't mind Brock Nelson, honestly. But we'll see what happens. There's a lot of free agent options.
A lot of free agent. Also, a lot of young guys that teams are going to have to make decisions. I also think New Jersey's going to tear it down, partially. It's going to be like a quick one-year retool where they're going to sell a lot of players off. Because I think that's a team that I'm willing to trade Kyrou to for a center.
Yeah, it depends on the center. But
Who would you pick off of that team? You wouldn't take Nico Hischier?
They're not trading Nico Hischier.
I bet they do.
No.
That's a guy I think they're willing to move if they're getting a guy that puts up... He's
their captain at 26 years old who scores a point per game.
But you're getting a guy that puts up 36 goals.
I mean, I just don't think...
And they would do that. You need the money. I don't know.
I don't think they would do that. I think that's just a killer to the locker room. Because Kyrou's not a leader like that.
I want Brett Pesce.
I do like Pesce. I like his last name, and I like that he's a defenseman.
Right-handed shot defenseman, could play second-line minutes with Broberg. Big boy of 6'3", 206 pounds, 30 years old, from Tarrytown, New York. I would love that.
Yeah, he's a beast.
But yeah, we can ramble on this for hours.
I know. I don't really see anybody that I would totally desperately want from them.
Mercer, Namich are two young guys, 23 and 22 year old, if you're trying to stick in that core age.
Damn. I don't know.
I think Jake Buffalo.
Allen. Jake Allen back.
Yeah, Jake Allen back. I'm not giving up Hofer. That's the other thing. The Blues have to make some contract decisions here.
Yeah.
Joseph can't be back on this roster.
Not unless you're paying him for like $900,000.
And he's got one more year on his deal.
Yeah, and it's a lot.
2.95.
Yeah, which is crazy. Actually.
So you got to move a Letty, a Joseph.
And a Tex, probably.
And a Tex. Actually, Tex probably sticks around your extra. Actually, they probably keep Joseph because I think Jimmy likes Joseph more than he does Tex.
Yeah. Tex played okay.
Sonny has to be your extra man. And then do they run younger with guys like a Koskomaki next year, a PD Dylan Peterson?
Yeah, I think that's a two-year thing.
Koskomaki, I think, could come up and play on your third line, in my opinion.
I guess it depends on if Joseph is just brutal or Bolduc starts becoming brutal for some reason.
Will come down to is Diva willing to put in a crazy amount of effort this season where you can't cut him and he plays wing on your third line?
Right.
I think he learns, and this is the same situation we had with Robert Thomas. But we basically need a Tyler Bozak signing this offseason.
Yes. It's a perfect example.
We need a Tyler Bozak 2.0, which I think is a Ryan Donato, a Granlin.
A Brock Nelson. A Giroux's your last-ditch effort.
A Suter.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Suter's younger. He's, I think, 26, 27.
Yeah, I think he's 28.
But I think it's a Donato, it's a Brock Nelson, or a Granlin. I think those are your three that I think emulate a Bozak deal. And don't break the bank. It's probably $5.5 to $6 million.
Yeah, and you get two or three out of them.
Yeah, I think Donato you can sign for. I'd be willing to give a 4 or 5 by 5.
I'll do 4 for him.
4 by 5, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm excited for this offseason. I mean, a heck of a season. Now it's going to be a heck of an offseason. We're going to make people really upset as we did, I think, with the offer sheets. I think we're going to piss some people off, and I'm going to love every second.
It's going to be a defenseman that they offer sheet, in my opinion.
We'll see what happens.
Yep.
Hello, everyone. Welcome here to the 5-Minute Major podcast of STL, presented by Across the Board. Yes, that's right. We are now partnered with Across the Board Handcrafted Unique Entertainment, which is a one-of-a-kind St. Louis-based company that creates some of the best games in the country. They have games ranging from horse racing to NASCAR, baseball to hockey. Across the Board provides quality entertainment for all ages. Here's one of their penny hockey games that we were able to partner with them on. So it has our logo, which is super cool. You can play this game at home. You can display it in your man cave. There's so many different potentials that you can do with these games. But you should check them out, guys.
We couldn't be happier to have Kim McDaniel and her company on as a sponsor or partner. Her and her husband started this company from their garage 17 years ago, and it's blossomed into something so cool and amazing. You will learn lots more about them. So please stay tuned and make sure to check their links in the description below to know more about the McDaniel story and Across the Board. All right. Let's get into the Stanley Cup playoffs. We've been away for a while.
But dude, some of the best playoff hockey I think we've had in a long time.
Yeah. This
feels besides the Carolina series, that one was garbage, but
I thought it was great just because it shows how unreal Carolina is.
Stankovic.
Like, people think it's boring hockey. No. I don't care what you say. They win. They put a million shots on net. They play great defense. Like, it's perfect hockey. Literally, like, they remind me of the Blues in 2019.
Rob Brendamore, baby.
Boring,
Brendamore heavy, hockey.
Shoveling crap on net, like, all game. So I'm going to go through what we had predicted for round two. The Maple Leafs versus the Panthers, we both had the Panthers in six. That is going seven tonight. The Capitals and the Hurricanes, I had the Caps. Josh had the Hurricanes. Hurricanes win in five. The Golden Knights versus the Oilers, we both had the Knights. The Oilers smoked them in five.
I hate that.
And then the Stars and the Jets, we both had Stars in six or five, I think, and they just did that last night. Before we get into anything, we were going to talk about the Shifley family later. Let's just talk about it now. Like, RIP to Mark Shifley's father. Thoughts and prayers to the family, to all the Jets players and fans. And you guys just went through probably one of the worst nights of your lives. Like, crazy stuff. What a warrior to come out and play.
Yeah.
He is one of our least favorite players to play against. And everyone knows why. He's horrible to play against. He's a great hockey player. He comes out, he scores the lone Jets goal, and unfortunately he took a necessary penalty to stop a breakaway. And of course it goes to overtime and they score on that power play while he's in the box. That's just unbelievably sad.
Also, as much as I do want to blame Hellebuck on that, he was completely screened. It was a terrible play by his defense. Hellebuck had no freaking shot at saving that puck.
Yeah. I agree.
But this seems to be the track record of this defensive group of blocking. They're screening their own goalie.
Yeah, it's hard. We saw it in
St. Louis. If he sees the pucks, he could stop them usually, except when it's on the road in the playoffs. But the other thing I do want to take a moment here, props to Dallas being a classy city and a classy organization for raising almost $30,000 for the True North Youth Foundation in honor of Shifley, all donating $55 increments.
Yeah.
Crazy. Honestly, emotional ending to that game. And yeah, I think it humanizes the game because of how the players from not only Winnipeg, but the Dallas players reacted to Shifley. Jamie Benn definitely gave him a big hug and held him pretty tight, saying,
like, yeah.
And I think that it shows that, this is more than a game, and it's sad to see, but as much as there's moments where I do not like Shifley, he showed up, and he played a heck of a game.
Probably his best game of the playoffs.
Yeah.
It just ended really, really, really unfortunately. But, yeah, best end game handshake line I've ever seen. Super emotional. And you know what? Shout out Winnipeg for putting up a fight. Dallas is just better, man. Dallas is just better. They're
and
deeper.
Getting healthier.
And Miro is back and
Robertson's back. Miro's back. Like so, that team, most teams are losing players at this point. They're getting people back, and that's a recipe to win a cup. And I really think it'll probably be a 7-game series. It's the rematchup of the Dallas Edmonton from last year.
Yeah. So I think DeBoer's made it to 6 conference finals in 7 years.
Also, hate him as a coach, but he's
something
amazing.
Like that. 9-0 in game 7 still.
Yeah.
So we'll see for the conference finals. Let's talk about a couple of the series that ended. Well, I guess almost all of them will end tonight. Capitals, Hurricanes, Canes win in 5. Hurricanes, no one talks about them. They just say they're boring. I don't care. They're amazing. Super good. Extremely experienced. Let's go get Brent Burns Stanley Cup. It does feel different. Like Anderson is healthy and he's unreal right now. Everyone is clicking top to bottom. The Capitals had no match for physicality. Like it's just the perfect hockey team right now. If they play Toronto, I think they sweep Toronto.
Yeah.
And they go to the cup final. I think they finally break the curse of finally winning a conference final hockey game since they won the cup almost 20 years ago.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting scenario. I just don't know. Like, it is hard to beat Florida. Florida's unreal, dude.
Like, can Toronto do it tonight?
No.
I don't think so either. I think they're losing.
The only way they do is if Stolarz is back.
They need Matthews to score. Again, twice or 3 times.
Yeah, you need all of them to show up. And when I say all of them, that means Knives.
Everybody.
Matthews.
Marner
and Nylander.
Nylander. Tavares. Wall. Wall needs to step up, which he's been pretty solid.
They, so also, we'll like, the defensive group. Also, Ty Domi not to be just a douchebag.
Max Domi.
That's his dad, is Ty Domi.
His dad was a D-bag.
Yeah, well, he's...
heck of a hockey player. Let's talk about the Capitals just for a second. So, great season. You guys had a great season. Ovi is going to be coming back for his last season on his contract. Backstrom went over to sign in Sweden, so I guess he's feeling better. he just doesn't want to play in the NHL anymore.
Kuzi's coming back, though.
Is he really?
He got out of his contract in the KHL.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, we'll see if he comes back. He's not worth it for anybody, in my opinion. But
it we'll sounds see like what a happens. Blues player if I've ever seen one.
Oh, God, no. We already have. good season for the Capitals. Ovi has not made it past the second round except for the one time to win the Stanley Cup in his whole entire career.
Also, that talk about a team that completed one of the best retools in one offseason in NHL history.
Super underrated, man.
Like, phenomenal. I thought they were gonna
make a run this year.
Yeah,
I really did.
And that's where I wonder, is Mangiapane back?
We'll see. I don't know. I think their decor is so good.
Oh,
and Thompson stepped the heck up as a goaltender. So
yeah, Chicky's also insane.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah, shout out to Chickren. He said that the locker room was bringing in a lot of faith. Like
they were praying a lot.
Like that was cool to see.
The closest knit team out of any team in this playoffs right now.
Unfortunately, they got eliminated.
Yeah,
but I agree. Yeah, it's pretty cool to see that they were praying together and stuff like that. Yeah. So, all right. Golden Knights, Oilers. This series stunk to high heaven, dude. The Knights looked terrible.
That team has some major issues, and they have put a lot of money into certain players that were non-existent in
that
series.
They're just going to do what they always do this offseason, and that is trade every single prospect and draft pick to build another super team and go for the cup.
I think there's going to be major players on their team that are traded this year.
We'll see. They've done it before. I think Hurdle needs to go.
Hurdle, I think, yeah. Oh, dude, you smoked your own trainer.
I think Hurdle needs to go. I think they have to make a decision on Petra because he can't stop getting hurt and sick and feels like he doesn't have the fire anymore.
No.
I feel like he's almost done, like ready to stop playing.
Yeah, he kind of is giving me the end of like Martinez vibes where it's like,
I'm done, but I'm still playing.
But like,
yeah,
I just, he's not the same player.
Unfortunately, he's still a heck of a player, but non-existent this playoffs.
But also still stacked back there. I mean, White Cloud.
Yeah.
You got depth in ways.
They're going to be a team that steals a couple free agents from somebody like a Marner or whatever, and it's going
to
piss people off.
If they can unload and move players, which I think there's teams that'd be willing to take them, and knowing Vegas, they'll trade away all their draft picks to get players out.
Yeah.
Mitch Marner ends up there, or John Tavares ends up there, which I don't see John T liking that environment.
No.
A Duchene, I could see liking it there.
Yeah.
A Sam Bennett, I can see liking it there.
Yes. 100%.
So I think, or Brock Besser. Sounds like a Brock Besser team to me.
Maybe.
Yeah. But I think it's one of those teams that I would be interested to see what they move.
Yeah.
If I'm the Blues, I'm also sitting there to see what they have. And
the
guy I would call back about is a Barbashev.
Yeah. I'll take him back now.
Yeah, if he's available, like, I don't know if he will be a guy that they'd be willing to move, but I think would be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what about a Kyrou going that way?
Yeah, if we could, I mean, we could probably
White Cloud.
That's who I want.
White Cloud and Barbie for a Kyrou and something else?
Sure.
Whatever. And you eat, like, $2 million?
We'll give him Kyrou. Like, we'll just give them all our extras.
What about, like, a Letty? I feel like a Letty would be sneaky good for them because he's cheap
and
reliable.
Yeah. And I think so,
puck
too.
Mover. Like, that's a team right there that you package a Kyrou, a Letty, and a third-round pick for a Barbie and a White Cloud.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. White Cloud's your right-handed defenseman to play with Broberg forever.
He's big.
He's a good hockey player. The series.
Insane. Oilers are stupid how good they are, though.
Yeah. Yeah, they are kind of riding on a high. The first couple games against LA, they woke up, and then they won six straight, including the first two of this series, and then they never looked back, winning in five. Pickard steps in after Skinner is not great, and then Pickard gets hurt, and Skinner comes in, and he's great. It's wild. Just everyone's stepping up. John Klingberg is the steal of the century this year for them. He's filling it nice with that call out. McDavid and Draisaitl are them.
Yeah.
Corey
Perry. My gosh. Just park yourself in front of the net and keep getting trash, but you keep scoring.
Him and Evander Kane have been so good. I mean, I have nothing bad to say about the Oilers right now. Even Trent Frederick's looking okay.
Also a guy we didn't talk about in free agency that I think the Cardinals could be interested in.
Blues.
Yeah, no, sorry.
You're looking at a Cardinals score or something.
Yeah, I'm looking at that.
Cardinals have been great. Here's a little stat for you. Gretzky and Crosby lost their first cup appearances as well, and then they ended up winning the next year. So
I love that stat. That was a cool stat that you pulled, and I thought that was awesome, which... Yeah, I think
McDavid is finally going to do it and bring the cup back to Canada this year. The way they're playing, dude, there's no stopping them. Dallas, though. Is Mikko Rantanen the guy to stop McDavid and Draisaitl? It's going to be so
good.
Team
Finland? Yeah, Team Finland can definitely beat.
Dallas is deeper, but Edmonton's playing deep right now.
Ekholm's coming back, too. Ekholm apparently is right... They're like right there, ready to come back.
Maybe like game two or three. I think.
I think if he can go somewhat, he's in.
Yeah, true. We'll see. That's gonna be a heck of a series.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Oilers. We don't like your fans very much.
Yeah.
It's hilarious making fun of you guys, but I really do hope you guys take that series of Dallas to seven games because it's gonna be great.
I don't know if it goes seven because I think Dallas's goalie. Ottinger is so much better.
Yeah, but Skinner
is so much better.
Skinner and Pickard have been playing great, man. Pickard, I don't even think he lost a game before he got hurt.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. It's going to be a great series.
All right.
Let's skip to the Stars and Jets and
we'll finish up with
okay
heck of a series.
Yeah, we talked about Rantanen a little bit. He is leading all skaters in goals and points so far in the playoffs.
He's got like 19 points.
Probably 20 or 21 by now. Ottinger is tied for first. I think he's officially first in wins for goaltenders, and he's third in save percentage. Even though Dallas got shut out twice in Winnipeg, 4-0. Twice they did that. Yep. And those were the two losses. Winnipeg. You didn't win a single game on the road in the playoffs.
That's bad. How
is that even possible? Like, come on, man. I can't help but laugh at it.
I mean, can we really take the comparison now that Hellebuck is the Clayton Kershaw of hockey? Like, I'm gonna stay on this mountain until it becomes true because he is cursed.
He's cursed.
Like, how can you be that good in the regular season? I think he's
a mental midget. He's too in his head.
But he's also so arrogant. No one studies the game more than me. I know the game more than everyone.
I think he does that on purpose to try and get himself like out of his head, like just saying positive things about himself, but it just traps him even further.
Well, they have him for like 8 more years, so
you can't trade the best goalie in the world.
No, he's the man of Manitoba.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll be there his whole career. Yeah. It's a heck of a goalie, but something he needs to fix it. He needs to get a lobotomy or whatever and just switch his brain around.
Yikes.
So that he's not a mental midget in the playoffs.
Oh, man. That's how we get canceled on social media.
Whatever, man.
Oh, man. But no, I agree with you. I think this Winnipeg team had some question marks when they came to the playoffs. Kyle Connor, I love that guy. Like, seriously.
Yeah, stud. I thought he was going to lead the league in scoring this year. He almost did. Yeah.
Gabe Vilardi, we've talked about him. He's an RFA.
Great player.
I think he's an RFA. Yeah. So, Cole Perfetti, I still think is kind of non-existent right now. Except when there's 1.6 seconds left. Yeah.
The two biggest goals of the season.
But yeah, I think there's some question marks that need to be addressed in Winnipeg. And I think a lot of it had to do with coaching, not being able to make adjustments.
I think
Josh Morrissey getting hurt twice is not.
Yes.
And it sounds bad. This second injury sounds
bad. He did not look good leaving the bench. Yeah, honestly, I don't think the team played awful. I think losing 7-2 and like 6-1 against the Blues on our home ice was bad looks for your defense and your goaltender.
Yeah.
But then they would go home and they shut out Dallas twice. It's so weird. They just can't seem to get over the hump on the road once the crowd gets into it. So like if you score first against them at home, you're winning. It's just kind of how it felt. I do feel bad for Hellebuck a little bit. Like he started playing pretty good, and they just couldn't pull it off in overtime last game. Dallas again, they're just too good, man. They've been good for so long. They still can't win a Stanley Cup. Is this the year you're going up against the best players in the world next? Like, good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck.
That team's so deep.
Yeah, and there a lot of the young players are locked for a while, but they're gonna have some question marks this year and probably the next. Like they gotta get rid of the oldies and bring in the new. And
you gotta pay see what some. Happens. Yeah, you still have some guys that need long term deals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's gonna be interesting to see who goes.
I think you could see as much as I don't know, maybe Jamie Benn takes a hometown discount to stay there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see it. He's becoming a guy that's only playing like 11 minutes for them a night.
Yeah.
And then Matt Duchene, who went there, reinvigorated his career, in my opinion.
He said he loves it there, man, on Chicklets.
Dude, he's got the Carhartt suit. He's a stud there. I think Texas and him are just perfect.
I think Dallas would be silly not to keep him and just let Jamie walk.
I agree.
Just keep Matt and let Jamie walk and then give the captaincy to Heiskanen or someone like that, or Sagan for a year or two before he retires. Yeah. And then
I love Sagan. I have my Dallas Stars Sagan jersey, I will admit. I do. He's getting to the end where I'm thinking he may be a guy they're going to let Walker go at some point.
Yeah.
But interested. A guy that I think would be a really interesting pickup is a Ryan Donato for Dallas. I think that's a match made in heaven, a bargain.
That's a Dallas center right there, for sure.
But yeah, that being said, very good series, very sad with Scheifele, but man, he gave his heart to that game.
Yeah, best game of his career, I think. He played so good.
And we'll kind of loop it up to our last series, and then we'll make some predictions.
Yes, finally. So,
the Leafs versus Panthers.
I can't believe this is going seven, dude.
I can't believe it's going seven.
I can't believe Toronto did it.
Yeah, props to Toronto for being, and I think that's the Berube effect in a way that, like, yes. We're locking and, like, we can hang on to our fingernails.
Yes.
Fingertips, they're holding on. But I don't think they will be able to survive tonight.
I don't think so either. Are they in Florida? Are they in Toronto?
I think they're in Toronto.
Okay, so it's a home game seven. They've played really good against Tampa Bay Lightning the last time they had a game seven at home, but they ended up losing. Controversial loss, but I think the better team won. So we'll see. We talked about it. It's going to be everybody has to step up. And Berube is going to have to make the correct adjustments. And I trust Berube before I trust those players. So it's really up to the players. So we'll see what happens. I think Florida's too dang good in elimination games. Too dang good. Paul Maurice, too dang good of a coach. Those players know what to do. Brad Marchand is going to be Brad Marchand and kill the Toronto's hopes and dreams again, I think. I think he scores the game winner just to rub it in their face, as he always does. And I think Matthew
Tkachuk is going to be the guy in this game.
I feel like he's been a little quiet, so I like that pick.
Yeah. Can we take a moment to just talk about Florida's D? Dude, Seth Jones, Kulikov, Forsling, Mikola, Ekblad, and Schmidt.
That's a heck of a lineup.
There is no better defense, in my opinion, in these playoffs.
Right now? Probably not.
Dallas is pretty close.
Yeah, now that they have Miro back, too.
With Miro back. I love Carolina, but I don't think they have this much of a depth.
It's wild. Like, I forgot Nate Schmidt's on that team.
Yeah, you don't even think about Nate Schmidt.
And, like, Mikola's been always there for on the like ice, though. 3 years.
Yeah.
And he's been a stud for them now.
That's the one that burns. If you want to talk about a player that is stupid that the Blues let go.
Sent him to New York with Vlad for nothing. Well, for Sam Blay.
No.
Whatever the heck it was.
It was a first-round pick, Skinner,
something else. Skinner, yeah.
Yeah, he's like a 6'6 defenseman that's been non-existent for us in minors, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see tonight with this Leafs-Florida game. The Leafs were up 2-0, lost three straight. In those first two games, I was like, I love this team. The defense is veteran, big, they lay bodies, and they block shots. And Stolarz has been great. Stolarz gets hurt. Yikes. They lose the next three.
Still not a dirty hit, in my opinion. I'm sorry. It was not.
So I had the conversation that he should have been suspended with my friends. And then I looked at it a bunch of more times, and I was like, okay. Fine is fine, or just call the penalty and get it over with, you know.
Yeah.
The Ekblad elbow, was that this series where he came in and just
it was last series.
Dude, that was a brutal elbow. You cannot do that.
Domi should have been suspended for his hit, though. If we're talking about players that should have been suspended, Domi.
No, I think that's a
end of the game run on Barkov. It was the max allotted fine, but come on, that was cheap city.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe because I love Barkov and like Barkov.
I mean, me
really,
too. Me
Barkov
too.
Doesn't really do anything wrong to anyone. That's my thing. That's my thing. If you make a run at Tkachuk, I get it because he probably said something to you. Or Sam Bennett, or Carter Verhaeghe. Like Verhaeghe doesn't say anything. I think between the three, if they were going to get run, it was Bennett, Tkachuk, or Marchand. But Barkov did absolutely nothing. Like, that man just goes out and plays.
Yeah, and he's the best player on the ice ever.
Also, Nico Sturm is scratched right now. That's also another guy that...
Oh, no. That stinks. Who's he, who's filling in for Sturm right now? Nobody.
Thomas Nosek is your fourth line center. And then you have Anton Lundell.
Ugh, I don't like that guy.
Oh, I love that guy.
Yeah. So, yeah, Florida made it 3-2, game six. Toronto shuts him out 2-0, and Matthews finally scores a goal. Wool was great. And shout out to Craig Berube, as we said. So, game seven tonight in about 4 hours. I'm really excited. This is probably going to be the best game of the playoffs.
Yep.
Because it's Toronto in Florida, and one team knows how to do it, and one team doesn't. So, we'll see if the roles get reversed. Yep. Heck of a playoffs, like you said, Josh. This is a great little catch up we've had. I am excited to talk more hockey when there's only four teams left, and I'm really excited to see who pulls this out.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't think I have anything else to say.
No, yeah, I'm excited for this, but you know my favorite part of the year is the off season and the draft because I'm a draft nut. Coming up soon. I am looking forward to this. Even though it's kind of a sad draft coming up. Interested to see what the Blues are going to do. We're going to be active again. I think for me, it still burns a little bit. The Blues are not in the playoffs. So, that being said, guys, thank you as always. Sorry we took that little bit of a break, but we will be bringing you some off-season coverage and more playoff coverage as always. And as always, we finish everything with a let's go
Blues. Let's go Blues, baby.
Woo! Hello, listeners. Josh here to tell you about the story of Across the Board and how it began. Husband and wife duo Ryan and Kim McDaniel dreamt of beginning their own business together while enjoying drinks on their patio. Thanks to an after-dinner party with family, their dreams began to take shape, and Across the Board, handcrafted wooden board games began. With Ryan's construction background and Kim's marketing and business experience, they began to design board games for family and friends. Several years later, they started a garage hobby, which grew into a warehouse operation, which is still steadily growing today. Sadly, Ryan went through a battle with colon cancer and peacefully passed in 2015. Kim uses his strength, hope, and true love to inspire and drive the force behind Across the Board. It is truly a pleasure to be sponsored by a great business and an even better family. If you'd like to learn more about Across the Board, please check out our bio with their links. If you're going to search them, go to www.shopatbgame.com or visit their locations in Crestwood and West County Mall in De Pere. For any other questions, don't hesitate to give them a call at any of their offices. It's a family business that we love and we love to support. And like always, the 5-Minute Major Podcast is here to support STL local businesses, just like they're helping us.